I'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. We are delighted to have you join us by way of radio, but we encourage you, because we need your presence here at Trinity, so we encourage you to come and join us each Sunday morning. Our services begin at 9:30 a.m., and our Sunday school is shortly after our services after that, so we invite you to come. Our radio broadcast this morning is driven and provided to us in the honor of Chris's birthday by Troy and Terry Nicholson. Our altar flowers is in honor of Troy and Chris. I made a mistake, so I'm going to back up. Apologize, radio audience. Mistakes have been done before, and we are in the church, and we hope for forgiveness of our mistakes. Anyway, our radio ministry is sponsored by DHES in honor of Richard and Heather's anniversary. So, and our altar flowers here this morning, which is beautiful, is given to us by Troy and Terry Nicholson in honor of Chris's birthday. We are so privileged and honored today to have Casey and Alex Willis, as well as having their family here, and they're going to provide us a special music and song entitled one of our favorites, Jesus Loves Me. Thank you. I know the radio audience cannot see what little Alex did here. Little Alex loves his family, and he loves Papa that was accompanying him in, and that's where he was turning a lot of his attention to. Our scripture this morning is taken from the book of Ezekiel. It's here in our sanctuary that is found on page 834 of your pew Bibles. I'll be reading from verses 1 through 4, and then again verses 25 through verse 32. Ezekiel 18, verses 1 through 4. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The fathers eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel, for every living soul belongs to me, the Father as well as the Son. Both alike belong to me. The soul who sins is the one who will die. Reading verses 25 through verse 32, and that's page 835 of your pew Bible. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, O house of Israel, is my way unjust? Is it your way not unjust? If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin, he will die for it. Because of the sin he has committed, he will die. But if a wicked man turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he will save his life, because he considers all the offenses he has committed and turns away from them, he will surely live. He will not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. All my ways are just, O house of Israel. Is not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all of your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed, and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. May the Lord add meaning and blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. The fence between heaven and hell was badly in need of repair. St. Pete consulted his records and found out, much to his chagrin, that it was Satan's turn to mend the fence. So he bolstered himself, and he looked at the terms of the ancient agreement, and he gritted his teeth and sought an audience with the Prince of Darkness. He found him in the nether regions, sharpening his pitchfork. Pete did not sit down. The smell of brimstone was thick in the air. And he looked at that old devil and he said, the fence is in need of repair and it is your turn. That old devil scratched behind his horn and he said, now, Pete, you could have been a bit more friendly after all of these years. Pete said, I don't even want to be here. And that old devil said, I'm not fixing that fence. My demons have too much to do, stirring up strife and trouble among those humans. And Saint Peter said, this is an ancient agreement. It's the right thing to do. Satan snickered. He said, really, Pete? It's the right thing to do? You see, Satan doesn't care what's right, wrong, or indifferent. He will use any means by which to trip us up. His greatest means is to cause division within the church. His greatest means is to stir up strife between people, to cause wedges between people, to where we become angry and upset at one another and we turn upon one another. That is why we need to double up on our prayers, on our fellowship, and on our worship, so that we, as the body of Christ, every church, every denomination, are fortified with prayer and fortified with Christian love for one another. Ezekiel's passage is calling us to repentance. Repentance not only for the things that we have done wrong, but also for the things that we have neglected to do, the times that we have not spent with our family, the time that we have not given in the church, the things that we have not done for our neighbors, the time that we have not spent in prayer. Now, this is not to guilt anyone, for repentance in and of itself is the first step to transformation. It's not about guilt. It is about the cleansing of our heart. Because later in that passage, Ezekiel tells us that we are, not like it says later in Ezekiel, where God is going to take our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. It says we are to get a heart of flesh and a new spirit. And beloved, only we can do this through our repentance, through turning from our hard-hearted, or more in this day and age, our apathetic ways. Our apathetic ways of resting on our laurels, where we have turned from the practices which once gave us so much joy and connected us one unto another and to our Father. We are to turn from the ways of this world. This world is so polluted with sin and with the mentality of, if it feels good, do it. It is my right. It is my place. It says in those first four verses that the fathers ate the sour grapes and the teeth of the children were set on edge. Quoting an old proverb, what they were trying to do was claim a victim stance. We can't help it. Our fathers sinned and we are now paying the price. And God says no. As long as I live. Think about the power of that statement. As long as I live. Our God has always lived and will always live. As long as I live, as long as I am in power, you will no longer quote that proverb. For the one who sins will die in that sin. In other words, you can no longer blame your parents, this world, or anyone else for your sin. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. That is why Jesus Christ came to earth, to pay the price for our sin. We are human. We cannot compartmentalize in our minds that one sin is worse than another. We cannot justify why we do it. Beloved, our God knows us. He knows everything about us. Before we have completely formed a thought, He knows it. So just give it up to Him. Release it. Repent and begin the process of transformation, of cleansing our hearts on the deepest level, of renewing our hearts, our minds, our lives, our spirits, and then we are prepared to stand in the gap for our world. Our God tells us that when we turn from our wicked ways, and when we pray, He will heal our land. He will heal us. I don't know where Kathy went, but she had some friends that were here yesterday, and they're going to be doing praise in the park at 2:00. And they thrilled me because they told me about praying over people. And they had two people that they had all prayed over that the doctors said our scans must have been wrong. Two people in a row with cancer. Our scans were wrong. We know better. We know the scans were correct. Now our God does not always answer in that way. There are many types of healing. But she looked me in the face and said what I believe at the depth of my being, that the miracles did not stop with the book of Acts, and they didn't. I have witnessed them. We are the church. And our God is getting ready to do some pretty mighty things through us, because Satan is ramping up his minions, and you see it everywhere. There's a song by Casting Crowns titled Slow Fade, that we do not lose our walk with the Lord like that. It begins with the slow fade. It begins with not turning our eyes away. It begins with not saying no. It is a slow fade that sin begins with. We don't jump right into the fire. Satan does not stand up and say, here I am, I'm the devil, I'm here to destroy your life. No, he comes at us as the angel of light. And he gives each of us something a little different. Because what Jennifer might be tempted by is going to be a lot different than what Terry or Karen or Mary Alice might be tempted by. So he rises up and says, here, I'm here to tempt you. And we take the bait. And once we have taken that bait and we enjoy a little bit of his fruit and his power, he then has us at our worst. And he has us at his mercy, because now we're filled with shame and guilt. And we forget the song that Cassie and Alex sang for us, that Jesus does love us, that he came to teach us how to live and how we can become free of shame and guilt and sin. It doesn't matter how many times we repeatedly turn it over to our God and we ask for help. He knows that we are human, we are fallible, that this human world began with the fall, and we began blaming. Eve blamed the serpent. Adam blamed Eve. In Ezekiel, they were blaming their parents. When we stand in repentance, we are owning responsibility for our own sins. We are not taking a victim stance, because that victim stance will keep us trapped for the rest of our lives. We are saying we are human, we are fallible, we are so in need of your mercy. The song we started with, if ever we needed you, it is now. It is now, God. Yesterday started a great movement of prayer across this nation. Every state, there was a place. Look at the pictures in Washington, D.C. There were thousands of people gathered in prayer. And in smaller towns like ours, there were people gathered around the jail. There were people praying in different areas. Those prayers pierced the darkness. And we've now riled Satan up. We don't back down now, beloved. Now is when our prayers need to come together more. And now is when we need to be on guard. Because Satan will try to tempt us. Satan will try to cause division. So every time you get stirred up, Or every time you get upset with your neighbor, your husband, your child, a church member, don't allow it. Do not allow it. Jesus, take this from me and show me how to love this person. Because all of it is devices of Satan trying to disrupt what God is trying to do here among us. In today's world, we have problems believing in spiritual warfare. I don't know about you folks, but when I read my Bible, it talks more about spiritual warfare and its realities than it talks about heaven. And it talks about prayer. It talks about fasting. It talks about unity. It talks about repentance. All of these are our tools. All of these are our beautiful privilege, beloved. They are our honor. They are the things that we carry before our Lord. You know, the Ten Commandments are indeed commandments. But they are also our loving Father's guardrails. Guardrails. What is a guardrail? The guardrail that goes around the drop-off is meant to protect us, to keep us in. Those commandments protect us because our good and loving God knew that if we break any of those, if we break those, it will destroy our relationship with Him and our relationship with one another. And it will devastate our own souls. Once we become filled with guilt and shame, we wallow in it. And until somebody reaches out and plucks us out of that fire and reminds us that Jesus loves us because the Bible told us so, and that nothing can separate us from His love. No sin, nothing we have ever done can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. And that each and every time we go before Him and we repent and we ask for forgiveness, He washes us white as snow. He restores our heart and gives us a heart of flesh, a heart that is malleable. And this, beloved, in this day and age is difficult. This is the message that God laid upon my heart. You all teach me too. Bev convicted me. I sat out at her house and she was talking to me. And she said the day that I went off script, she said, we needed to hear that because too often preachers get up there and they use the books that they are learning from. And I do. I use my commentaries and my lectionaries, and I even have different books that have little stories in them that I use. But she convicted me so deeply that day. And this does happen to be a lectionary passage, but when I looked at it, I began crying and weeping. Because what God was saying to me out of this passage was at the end of this passage that we need those hearts of flesh, those hearts that are malleable, those hearts that are formable, shapeable, those hearts that are soft enough in this hard, cold, sinful world that our God can prick them and we turn and do as He asks us to do. And that's not easy. Okay? We need... When I first came to the Lord, I hadn't opened a Bible. I was in my early 30s. And God used Ezekiel a lot with me. Ezekiel 3, 1 through 11 summarized basically, He gives him the scroll to eat, and that's what God did for me. He gave me the word, and I could not get enough of it. Ask people who know me really well. I forget words. I can't remember anything, but I remember God's word. That's how I knew I was called. And then he said, do not be afraid. Do not be terrified. I will make your forehead as hard as flint. In today's vernacular, that's the same as having thick skin. As Christians, we need thick skin so that the things that people say in this world do not bother us, but we need that heart of flesh. That heart of flesh that can be pricked by God. That God does not have to continue beating us upside the head with the frying pan, that when he says, Larry, I told you to go give so-and-so such-and-such. Mary Alice, I told you to be praying for the preacher. That we do it immediately. When God says something to us, we don't question, was that God's voice? Maybe I'm imagining it. And trust me, I've done a lot of that. Or we don't say, God, I don't have that. You know, I'm kind of tight on finances right now. We say, yes, Lord, I will do as you say. Whatever it is, he's going to speak to each of our hearts differently. The song we're going to hear in a few minutes says, all I've ever wanted is your heart. And that's what our God wants from each and every one of us. And how he wants that heart is going to be different depending upon the individual. Whether he is calling you to come and serve in the church, whether he is calling you to be a prayer warrior, whether he is calling you to dig deeper and give more, whether he calls you to stop at somebody's house and pray over them, or whether he calls you to do something. You know, when God first started telling me things to do, I had a difficult time. The very first one, I had been Christian for just a couple of months, and he told me to go to someone and pray with them about forgiveness. And I said, no, Lord, no. They don't believe in you. They don't like me right now, and they definitely do not want to talk about that subject. And I went. I drove out there, and I prayed with a man who had left his wife of 27 years to sleep with his sister-in-law. And the man cried in my arms and called the wife of his four children and ask for her forgiveness. And to this day, when he died, I believe he died with Christ in his heart. After that, I listened to God most of the time. One time he told me I was to go and give a woman with cancer $100. Well, you see, I had just raised some money and got them a trip to go somewhere, and the husband was kind of, you know, he had some pride going on and felt bad that people had given so much, and both sets of her parents were doing pretty well, but unbeknownst to me, both sets of parents were out of town. So I decided, you know, I didn't want to hurt his feelings again, so I wasn't going to do it. Didn't have anything to do with the fact that I was a single mom raising four kids. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. She had run out of her seizure medication. As he pushed her across the bridge, she fell out of the wheelchair and had a seizure on the cement. Guess how much that seizure medicine cost? Now when God tells me to do something, I don't care. Who might get their feelings hurt? How ridiculous it sounds. We've all heard these stories that God tells us to go pick up milk and take it to someone's house. Beloved, those things are real. Maybe it's not always the milk. Maybe he tells you to go pray over someone, to pray for someone, to do something in the church, to do something in the community. Bottom line, until we repent, until we ask for forgiveness, until he takes all shame and guilt from us, our hearts cannot be pricked, and we cannot turn back towards Him and do these things that He is asking of us. And until we do, brothers and sisters, our Christian presence will not override the evil in this world. For the only thing that will conquer the evil, this present darkness, is our love, our unity, our witness of Christ's love. All He ever wanted, all He wants now, is willing hearts. If you would, please, Tyler. The song is by Casting Crowns, and it's titled, All I've Ever Wanted. Go ahead. Jim.
We'll get it.